Morning. It's nice to see you all. A few visitors, you're very welcome. It's nice that spring's arrived, hasn't it? It's lovely to see the sun shining. So as George said, we've been doing this series called Encounter. And Steve started us off 2 weeks ago. He was talking about having an expectation to encounter God. And, you know, coming to church with an expectation to meet with God and just generally having a faith level and having an expectation that in our lives, you know, we will encounter God. And last week, Danny very brilliantly spoke, and he was talking about, you know, pressing into God, that sometimes, although we have an expectation to encounter God, that it requires a bit of a pressing in. And he spoke about the lady who pushed through the crowd, you know, just to have that touch of Jesus' garment. And, you know, sometimes in our lives, you know, it's the same with us, that we have to press in. You know, we have to, if we really want to encounter God, then we have to kind of press in and push through stuff to meet with him. And Danny finished off last week by kind of challenging us about humility. He challenged me anyway, and he was talking about, you know, humility and how we have to have a humble heart to come to God. And I wanted to kind of pick up where Danny left off, really. So this morning, what I wanted to look at is the still small voice of God. And this links in with humility, because for us to hear God's voice and for us to hear that still small voice, we have to come with humble hearts and we have to humble ourselves and come from a lowly position of being completely vulnerable with God and opening ourselves up to, you know, to for God to speak into our lives. The still small voice of God is kind of almost the completely opposite end of the kind of miraculous and the other bigger things. And, you know, it's great for us to have an expectation for God to move in powerful and miraculous ways. And I 100% believe that God still performs miracles today. You know, he is a big and powerful God, and he does, you know, amazing things. And we should have an expectant faith to see God do miraculous things, to see his signs and wonders. But I don't want us to just have that view of God and to just have our eyes blinkered on the big stuff so much that we miss the small stuff, that we miss the everyday voice of God speaking into our lives. Because yes, God does big and amazing things, but also, you know, he's the still small voice. And God is speaking into our lives every day. You know, I really believe that. And I believe that anyone can hear the voice of God. That you don't have to be a prophet or a minister or anyone special. It's not just for church leaders, but every single follower of Christ can hear his voice. And so I want us to have an expectation for us to be hearing God's voice in our lives. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. And it's great to come to church with an expectation of things. It's great that we should expect the Holy Spirit to move. And, you know, I want to be part of a church where we come every week knowing that we're going to meet with God, where there's a buzz and an excitement because God is doing stuff in this place. And I think that's what we have, you know. God is moving amongst us, you know. And every morning, every Sunday we come together. You know, it's right that we should expect to meet with God because we're coming into a place of worship, you know, as a community, and we're worshiping him and we should expect to meet him. But there are 6 other days of the week. And so we shouldn't just come to church on a Sunday expecting to meet with God, but, you know, let's wake up every morning expecting to have an encounter with God. You know, that's what I want for my life, and that's what I want, you know, for all you guys. And a big part of having these everyday encounters of the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives every day is the still small voice. So this morning, I just want to look at some things in the Bible about the still small voice and, you know, just talk about, you know, what does it sound like? How do we recognize that voice? In Job 33:14, it says, God speaks one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. You know, so the Bible tells us that God speaks, but we just don't perceive it sometimes. But I think once we start expecting him to speak, once we start training ourselves to know what God sounds like, then we will perceive it. You know, and I don't think it's anything, you know, we kind of put it up on this big lofty level. And as I say, we kind of think that the prophets heard from God, but we can't possibly. But, you know, I think we all do hear from God. And if you think you've never heard from God, then I would say, actually, I think you're probably wrong. You know, I think God does speak to us, you know, in lots of different ways every day. And I think sometimes we just don't realize it. And it's those times that you've maybe suddenly felt prompted to pray for someone, or you've been reading the Bible and something's just jumped out at you. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's God speaking to you, you know, in the everyday. You know, and it's so important that as Christians that we do hear the voice of God. Jesus said in John 10, 27 to 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." So if we're the Lord's sheep, then we ought to hear the shepherd's voice. You know, Jesus said that we will. And, you know, it's vital for our relationship with Jesus that we are hearing his voice and we are following him and we are having those everyday encounters. And if you're not a Christian and you think that's why you've never heard the voice of God, then I think that God is speaking to you as well. You know, and it's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking directly to our hearts, which brings us to that point of salvation. You know, it's not anything else but God speaking to us, which leads us to him. And if God is speaking to you, then I would just say answer him. You know, the very reason that you're here this morning is because the God of the universe is crying out to you, and he's speaking directly to each of us this morning. So I just want to spend some time looking at Elijah and when he encountered the still small voice, which is in 1 Kings 19. And just a bit of a background on this story. Elijah's just come from Mount Carmel, where God has just done amazing stuff. God sent fire from heaven to burn the offering. Elijah had a bit of a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And so he kind of had this challenge and said, "Will you pray to your God? And if he burns up your offering, then he's proved himself. And I'll pray to my God. And if he burns up the offering, we'll know who the one true God is." But not just that. Elijah tips three huge urns of water on top of his fire. And God still burns it up. So God proves himself. And then Elijah climbs to the top of the mountain and he prays. And after 3 years of drought, God sends the rain. And I think that after God showed himself in such a miraculous way, Elijah was probably expecting that the prophets of Baal would turn and worship Jehovah, and that Jezebel and King Obadiah would repent, and they would follow God, and all the people would follow God, and everyone would live happily ever after, and it would be great. But unfortunately, it doesn't quite work out like that. And instead, Jezebel threatens to kill him. And she says to Elijah, "By this time tomorrow, you know, I'm going to have you killed." So Elijah gets a bit scared, and he does a runner into the wilderness, and he finds a cave to hide in. And so that's where we find Elijah in 1 Kings 19, if we can bring that up. And it's an interesting kind of side note that struck me when I was reading this, that you might expect that after God, you know, showed himself so powerfully, that people's hearts would be changed and they'd repent and turn to him. You know, he's just sent fire from heaven. He's just sent rain after 3 years of drought, you know, and It kind of seems sensible to assume that after something like that happens, that people would just, you know, turn to him. But that's not what happens. And, you know, if we look in Exodus 9, after God sent all the plagues on Egypt, Pharaoh still didn't turn to him. In fact, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And I think often in our own lives, we think that if God would send a miracle, if signs and wonders would break out and all this amazing stuff would happen, then, you know, we'd see revival and people would start becoming, you know, coming to God and you know, yeah, there'd just be great revival. But actually, God doesn't work like that. Because as I said, God is the God of the still small voice. And it's on the inside that we're changed. You know, it's not the external stuff. It's not the miracles. And, you know, they're great and they are faith building. But what changes us, what leads us to Christ, is the Holy Spirit prompting our hearts. It's an internal thing. And I just think it's so important that if we want to have encounters with God, we need to remember that. It's not about the miraculous and the signs of wonders. A genuine encounter with God is not any of that external showy stuff. It's our hearts meeting with our hearts. It's his voice speaking to our spirits. Okay, so 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So you'd probably expect that the great and powerful God of the universe that created everything would be in the earthquake and the wind and the fire and all those big, you know, crazy things. But God wasn't in any of those things. God was in the whisper. You know, it's that gentle whisper that stirs our souls. You know, it's that those kind of butterflies you get on the inside when you know the Holy Spirit is moving and touching you. You know, and I think we've all experienced that. And the point of God speaking in the still small voice is to show Elijah that the works of God aren't always big, dramatic, you know, manifestations. But actually there's an internal revelation, you know, on the inside, on our hearts. And I think here God is reminding Elijah that, yes, he does do mighty and powerful things. He'd just done all those things on Mount Carmel. But Elijah finds himself here on another mountain. And God, in a way, is humbling him, is reminding him that, you know, it's about the quiet personal relationship we have with God. And God is reminding Elijah about the personal relationship he has with the Lord. But it's only when we quieten ourselves and become still that God speaks. You know, Elijah has to go to a cave in the wilderness, and finally God can get through to him. And God doesn't get through to him in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but God gets through to him with a gentle whisper. You know, and it's a great encouragement. I found it encouraging that, you know, divine, that, you know, when God isn't doing the miraculous and the amazing stuff you want, it doesn't mean that God isn't listening. It doesn't mean that God isn't at work. You know, that we may desire to see these things, and we should. I want us to have an expectation and a level of faith that we see signs and wonders and miracles happening. You know, it's right that we should desire that. But if we don't see that, that doesn't mean that God is inactive. You know, God is still there, and we need to also be listening to for the still small voice. So yeah, and it's another amazing thing about God that he's not confined to communicating with us in a single manner. You know, God can communicate to us through signs and wonders and miracles and amazing stuff. But God also communicates to us through, you know, this still small voice, through the works of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be in tune to that. If we want to be encountering God, then we need to make sure that we're in tune to his Spirit, that we know what he sounds like. You know, and elsewhere in Scripture, it says that God communicates through a whirlwind in Job 38, verse 1. In Exodus 19:18, he announces his presence with an earthquake. And in Samuel, in Job, in Psalms, in John 12, it says that the voice of God sounds like thunder. In Psalms, it says that his voice is compared to thunder and a whirlwind. And in Revelation, it says that lightning and thunder proceeds from the throne room of heaven. You know, and these are all ways that God speaks. These are all ways that God gets our attention and communicates with us. You know, but I think the most common way that God communicates with us is via the Holy Spirit, and that's the still small voice. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And it's in the stillness, not the busyness, that we tune our ears to hear God. You know, the Lord always speaks in the still small voice, but often it's drowned out by the busyness and the rushing in our lives. And unless we make time to be still, we're not making time to hear God. You know, and I confess now, before I make myself a hypocrite, this is something I find really difficult. You know, I've got 3 children, I run my own business, responsibilities with church, and I confess, sometimes I find it difficult to make time to have that quiet time with God and to just be still and just listen for him to speak. Not even me speaking, you know, not praying, not reading scripture, not requesting anything of God, but just to sit and be still in his presence. But if I don't make that time, then I suffer, and we all do. And it's really important that we do this, you know. And the reason we need to do it is because this is what God created us for. In Genesis 3, we see that God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You know, and that's how God wants it to be with us today. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us every day, you know, not just on a Sunday morning when we come to church, not just when, you know, we can fit it in or when we can find the time, but God wants to have a daily ongoing dialogue with us. And so it's important that we allow that to happen and that we make time for it, you know. And as Danny said last week, the whole of the Bible is a series of stories of people's encounters with God, you know. And it's the same today, you know. The God of the Bible wants to have encounters with us even today. You know, he hasn't changed. So if we really want to encounter God, we need to get serious about our quiet times. You know, and we need to practice silence. We need to separate ourselves and we need to be in the Lord's presence and just allow him to speak to us. And I'm not saying that God is limited to the quiet, because, you know, there are those times that God does just break through and says something to you. You're driving down the road and suddenly you feel that you need to call a friend, or suddenly you feel you need to pray for something. And God does, you know, burst into our lives and he does speak, you know, even when we don't give him time. But when we do give him time, then I think he definitely will speak and we definitely will hear him. We won't be disappointed if we make time for God. And the more time we spend actively trying to hear him, then the more practiced we become in hearing him. And, you know, if we make those times to be quiet and silent and to get out of the busyness of life and to sit and hear from God, then the reward of that is that once we're trained in hearing God, then it's easier for us to hear God the rest of the time when we are in the busyness and the rushing and the normal day-to-day stuff. It's a bit like around Christmas time, there was a school thing for my daughter, and we were in the school hall, and there's lots of noise, lots of children talking and screaming, and from across the other side of the noisy hall, Seraphim said, "Daddy," and I heard her. I picked her voice out amongst all the other kids, you know, saying daddy and calling their parents. I heard her because I know what her voice sounds like. I'm used to hearing her, you know. And if we become used to hearing God's voice, then just like that, we'll pick out his voice amongst all the other voices, all the other noise in our life. If we know what God's voice sounds like, then we'll hear it when he speaks, you know. And there's three voices at war for our attention in our lives. There's the voice of self or the flesh, and there's the voice of ungodly thinking, and there's the voice of the Holy Spirit. So again, it's so important for us to have this quiet time, because if we can recognize God's voice, then we know what that sounds like compared to the other voices. And so we know which voice we should be listening to. The voice of the flesh is telling you to obey sinful desires, to give in to temptation, to take the path of least resistance. In Romans 8 verse 7, it says, "The mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot." You know, and I don't want to have a mind that's hostile to God, you know. And so in order for me to shut out the voice of the flesh, I need to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. And ungodly thinking is exactly that. It's thoughts that we have that are basically ungodly. So at the extreme one end, you might have the thought or the desire that you want to murder someone. Hopefully we don't have those thoughts. And at the other end, which can seem quite innocent, but it's just the getting angry at someone, you know. And so that's an ungodly thought. And again, the more we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more it will drown out that other voice. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit is calm and peaceful and edifying and encouraging. And it never conflicts the word of God, you know. So if we feel that God is speaking something to us, we can always check if it's God, because we have scripture to line it up with, you know. And sometimes you get these kind of crazy cult leaders and they say, "God's told me to do this or that," you know. But if something contradicts what God has already spoken to us in scripture, then it's not God, you know. So that's a really powerful tool that we have, that we can always check, is it God speaking to us? And you know, like I say, it's a great thing to practice these times of silence and to practice hearing God, because the more we do that, then the more the other voices shut up and the more, you know, God speaks to us and we get used to listening to him. So I just want to spend some time looking at some of the things that we can do to train ourselves to encounter the still small voice. So the first and the most obvious way is just to make that time to be still and silent. In Psalms, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And Isaiah said, "Your strength will rise when you wait upon the Lord." And countless times in the New Testament, we're told that Jesus withdrew and went by himself to pray. And if we want to hear from God, then we need to be still. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to withdraw and find some quiet time to just seek and reflect on God. If we look at Luke 5, 15 to 16, I'll just read it. Luke 5, verse 15 to 16, it says, "Yet the news about him," this is talking about Jesus, "the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." So, you know, Jesus knew that he had to withdraw to a place of silence in order to hear the Father. You know, so if Jesus had to get out of all the busyness and the rushing and you know, the stuff to hear God, then we certainly do, you know. And in all things, we should follow Christ's example. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do whatever he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." You know, and that's how it should be with us. You know, substitute sees for hears, if you like, but this is how we should be in our relationship with God. We should only do what we see the Father doing, because at the end of the day, by the blood of Jesus, we're all sons of God, even you ladies. We're all sons, you know, and so we should only do what we see the Father doing, you know. And in order to maintain this ongoing dialogue with the Father, Jesus had to separate himself and make time to be silent and just to sit in the Lord's presence and reflect, you know. And so we need to do that too, and we need to take it seriously. If we want to encounter God, you know, if we want to have an ongoing dialogue of the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives every day, then we need to regularly make times to just, you know, be still and to separate ourselves like Jesus did. And another great tool that that I found personally helps me with just having the discipline to find that, because I find if you just sit down and you're like, right, I'm going to hear from God, I'm going to be quiet, I'm just, right, I'm going to focus, and your mind starts wandering, and you think, oh, what's for dinner, or you start thinking about, you know, there's all sorts of other stuff going on in life, and other thoughts going on in your head, and I personally, maybe I'm just not very focused individual, but I personally find it really difficult to just sit and not let my mind wander. But something that helps to focus my times with God is journaling. And I don't know if any of you have ever done it, but it's a great way to train your ear to hear the voice of God. And, you know, we wouldn't have the Bible, we wouldn't have the book of Psalms or songs or, you know, half of the Bible if people long ago hadn't heard from God and written it down, you know. And I think God still wants this to be a practice that we do today, you know. And I'm not saying that our journals will become scripture, but, you know, they are a powerful faith document. You know, you can look back at it and you can see the things that God has been speaking to you. You can see the journey that God has brought you on, you know. And I don't want God to speak to me and for me to forget it, you know. And a great thing about writing it down is that years and years later, you can go back and look at it and you can go, oh yeah, God revealed that to me, you know. How could I forget that, you know. So it's a really, really good thing to do. And so I'd encourage any of you, just grab a pen and a pad and just sit down and be silent before the Lord and just start writing what comes into your head. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, "In the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom all he made the universe." So, you know, the God of the universe wants to speak to each of us directly, you know. He doesn't want to just communicate through the prophets, you know. Yes, we have scripture, and, you know, that is the word of God. That is the first place we should go to hear God, you know. But also, God has given us the Holy Spirit, and that's another way he wants to communicate to us. So I would just encourage us all, you know, let's get a pad and a pen and, you know, have that pad dedicated to just writing down, you know, what God is saying to you, you know, and sit in silence, pray before you do it, sit in silence, and then just start writing down what comes into your head, you know, and review it. And if it's wrong, that's fine. Scratch it out, tear the page out if you want to, and just start again. You know, you're not going to get in trouble. It doesn't matter. But just start doing it. Just start writing what God is speaking to you, you know. And I think when we take time to do this, God will speak to us. You know, and we can always use scripture to discern if what God's saying is true. You know, if we find that anything has come to us and we realize it contradicts scripture, then we know that it's not God speaking to us. And that's fine, you know, you just move on from that. And if you have something and you're not sure, you know, okay, it doesn't contradict scripture, but I'm still not sure about it, then share it with someone, you know. Share it with someone whose wisdom you trust, maybe a house group leader or a Christian friend. But, you know, we don't have to keep this stuff to ourselves. Let's just be open with each other, because that's why we're in fellowship together, you know. So, you know, let's share with each other. What's God speaking in our lives, you know? Because it will encourage me to hear you tell me, oh, God's been saying this to me, you know. And I'm sure it'll encourage you to hear what God's saying in my life. And, you know, that's why we want people to come up the front in worship. You know, share with us what God's speaking. It's not just for church leaders or for Steve and the worship team or, you know, special people, you know. Anyone can come up the front here and share. They let me up here. So, you know, we can all do it. In 1 John 1, 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you might have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son." So, you know, that's the fellowship that we enjoy, you know, the fellowship of us blessing each other by what God is saying and doing in our lives, you know. And so if God is speaking to you, I would say don't be afraid to share it, you know. Just be open, you know. And again, that comes back to this idea of humbling ourselves. You know, we need to humble ourselves to each other, that we're prepared to open our lives up, you know, because it can be a vulnerable thing and it can feel quite scary to share with someone else, you know, what is God saying to me? What is God doing in my life? But there's nothing to be afraid of, because actually we're all at that same point of vulnerability. We're all at that same point of humility before the Lord. You know, we're all in the same place, you know, and it greatly, greatly encourages other people to hear what God is doing, you know, in our lives personally, you know, because God is at work, you know, and if we don't share with each other the ways God is at work in our lives, then how are other people supposed to know? You know, and that's an exciting thing. You know, it's exciting for me to hear, you know, what God is doing and saying in other people's lives. And we were discussing this at our home group a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, since then, Emmeline and other people in the house group have posted on our Facebook group, you know, scriptures that they've read that God's really spoken them to, or just answers to prayer that they've had, you know. And it's so encouraging, you know, because that verse has encouraged them, but actually they've then shared it and it's encouraged everyone else. Or, you know, they've seen that prayer answered and it's encouraged them, but when they share that answered prayer with everyone else, and that boosts all our faith, you know. And that's what community is about, that's what fellowship is about, that's what church is about. You know, that's why we're all here, to encourage and edify and build each other up. So when God speaks to you, don't keep it to yourself. Write it down and be prepared to share it. And, you know, if you're an artistic person, then maybe you'll draw pictures. You know, maybe it won't be all words. That's fine. You know, share a picture. We've got a painting here that the ladies have been doing, you know, at WOW sessions. And, you know, God can speak through art as well. You know, God doesn't just speak through words. God speaks through pictures and visions and dreams, you know. And if God is speaking to you in that way, then that's great. Share it with us, you know. Let us know. Bless us all with how God has been blessing you. Okay, so the third way that we can kind of train ourselves, or I don't know if it's train, it's more kind of, it's something that helps us with hearing God's voice, and it's a bit of a tricky one. And it comes down to obedience. And, I've found that the tricky thing about seeking God's voice is that if we start ignoring it, then sooner or later God stops speaking. You know, we must be obedient when God speaks, to act on it or to share it or to do whatever he asks. Because, you know, if we're disobedient to that voice, then disobedience to God at the end of the day is sin. And sin always is a blocker between us and God. You know, so you know, it's a serious thing, this kind of hearing the voice of God and making time for it. We need to take it seriously, and we need to, when we do hear God, we need to be obedient to whatever it is he's saying. And if you look at the men in the Bible who heard from God regularly, then the one thing you see that they all had in common is that they heard and obeyed. You know, it's no good just hearing God and then not doing anything about it or not following it. I mean, sometimes God will just speak a blessing to you, and that's fine. But sometimes God will ask you to do something, or, you know, will require something of you. And we can't ignore that at those times, you know, even if we don't like it. You know, we need to follow up. If we look at 1 Samuel, here we see Samuel hears God for the first time. He's asleep at night and he hears a voice calling out his name, and he naturally assumes that it's his master Eli. So he goes to Eli and he says, "Yes, master." And Eli says, "I didn't say anything." And so Samuel goes back to bed. And after three times of this happening, Eli finally realizes what's going on. So he sends Samuel back to bed and he says, "Go and lie down. And if he calls to you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And that's good advice. You know, when you hear God, when you hear the voice of God, say, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening." And if we look in Isaiah 6, verse 8, the Lord says to Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah replies, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And again, that's a great attitude to have. This is the attitude that we should adopt. When God speaks to us, and we hear the voice of God, we need to humbly and obediently reply, "Here I am, Lord, send me, use me, your will be done in my life, have your way with me." You know, and it requires us to be humble, to be obedient, and to just be open to God. You know, if God is asking us to do something, then we should do it. We must be obedient. And if we look at Acts, I just want to run through some examples in Acts. Of Paul experiencing God speaking to him. So we don't need to put these up because I'm going to rattle through them. There's quite a few. But in Acts 9:4, it says, "He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him." Acts 13:2, "While we were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul.'" Acts 16:9, "During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man from Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Acts 17:9, "One night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but speak.'" In Acts 19:21, "Now, after these things were accomplished, Paul resolved in the spirit to go through Macedonia and Asia and then go to Jerusalem." Acts 22:11, "That night the Lord stood near him and said, 'Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you will bear witness also in Rome.'" So here's a whole list of different ways that God speaks to Paul. And, you know, the one thing they have in common is that each time Paul hears God, he responds and does what God asks. You know, and I picked Paul specifically because I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes with the disciples, I think, well, they've got it easy. They actually met Jesus, you know. They actually got to sit at his feet and, you know, experience him personally. But, you know, Paul never met Jesus. He never met him in the flesh. And he doesn't have anything that we don't have. You know, yes, he had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. But, you know, he's filled with the same spirit we're filled with. You know, and we can hear the voice of God the same way that Paul did. You know, and because Paul obeyed that first all-powerful voice that blinded him and followed the calling that the Lord gave him, then God continued to use him, you know. And if you want to be used by God, that's all it takes. You know, I don't think that God requires anything more of us than obedience. You know, he just wants us to listen to him and to do what he asks, you know. And that's why Paul and the disciples and these other great people of faith we see in the Bible, you know, the only thing they had was obedience, you know. And their faith was built because they heard God and were obedient to it and they saw a victory. And they heard God, and they were obedient to it, and they saw a victory, you know. And it's the same in our lives. When we're obedient to God, then we see the victory. We see the miraculous and the signs and wonders, and amazing things can happen, you know. And these people in the Bible that listened to God and were obedient to his voice, God used them to change nations, to rescue slaves, to be advisors to kings and royalty, you know, to perform signs and wonders and miracles, and to spread the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. You know, the whole reason that we live in a Christian nation, that any of us know Jesus, is because at some time someone was obedient to that voice of the Holy Spirit and they did what God said. You know, we all have someone to thank because they preach the gospel to us. That's the only reason that we ever came to Christ, you know. And God can use each of us in the same way. God can use us to do mighty, mighty things when we hear his voice and we're obedient to do what we see the Father doing. You know, and I don't want any of us to doubt that. You know, I can't stress this, you know, enough, that God will speak to you. And when you do what God asks you to do, you will see amazing things happen in your lives and in the lives of people around you, you know. And that's what I desperately want for each of us. It's what I want for my life, you know. And I don't always get it right, you know. I admit there are times that I hear God and I don't do what he asks, that I doubt and perhaps I do have little faith. But actually, you know, the times when I have obeyed God, you know, far outweigh that. And it is just the most amazing thing in the world. It's the most incredible feeling to know that you've been used by God, that you've heard his voice and you've been obedient to what he's said. And we can all do that. You know, we don't need to be special to do it. But first, we must get used to practicing to hear the still small voice. You know, we must get used to those everyday encounters with God. You know, and if we don't do that first, if we don't lay the groundwork, then, you know, it just makes it more difficult, you know, because once we're practicing hearing the still small voice, once we recognize it, then we will hear it at other times, you know, and then the only other thing we have to do is to be obedient to it, you know. So when we walk with God like this, you know, it just completely revolutionizes our lives, you know, it changes everything, you know, and it's... We often think that this stuff is just for church stuff or just for spiritual stuff, but it's not. God wants to use it to enrich every area of your life, in your career. You know, if you're listening to the guiding of the Holy Spirit and you encounter something at work and you just think, I don't know what to do about this, I don't know how to handle it, and God can just give you an answer like that when you're in tune with him. Or as a parent, you know, when you're facing parenting things and you just think, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to tackle this situation, or I don't know what to do with my child. And you know, God is our Father in heaven, you know, and he will give you those answers you need. Whatever you're facing in your life, whatever difficulty you tackle, whatever kind of roadblocks you come up against, tune into the Holy Spirit and God will answer you. God will give you the breakthrough and the victory you need. You just have to be expectant for him to speak, you know. So it's not just about the churchy spiritual stuff, but anything in your life. I heard this story once about a woman who'd lost a pen. You know, and it was just a pen. It was a very nice kind of gold-plated fountain pen, but it was just a pen. But it meant a lot to her because it was her grandmother's, and she'd inherited it. And she'd had it a long time, and one day she lost it, and she was just devastated, and she spent weeks and weeks searching for it. And then one day in her quiet time, she just sat down, and she was still worrying about this pen because she didn't have it to write with. And God just said to her, "Why haven't you asked me where it is?" And she was just like, of course, you know, she was, why didn't I do that first of all? So she just sat and prayed and she said, you know, Lord, can you show me where the pen is? And he said, go up and go to the bathroom, your ensuite bathroom, and look behind the toilet cistern and you'll find it. And she thought, that's crazy. But she did it and the pen was there, you know. And you could just say, well, that's an insignificant thing. It's just a pen. That doesn't mean anything. But, you know, things that mean a lot to us mean a lot to God because he loves us, you know. And if we choose to involve God in those minute details of our life, then he wants to be involved in them, you know. But we have to invite it, we have to ask, and we have to expect God to be there, you know. And I faithfully believe he will be, you know. I don't believe that anyone will be disappointed if you invite God into all those aspects of your life. So, you know, this week, I would say let's just plan some time with God, you know. Let's try and find some time to separate ourselves and to wait upon the Lord and see what happens, you know. That's all I'm asking. That's all I want to do, you know. I don't want to have big expectations for God to, you know, reveal some new mystery to me, but, you know, I just want to sit in his presence and allow him to speak and see what happens, you know. And I think we can all do that, can't we? We can all just sit and expect God to speak to us and then see what happens. You know, and I don't believe any of us will be disappointed when we do that. So I just wanted to finish by providing a time to reflect and hopefully by bringing an encouragement, because I don't want any of this to feel like a burden that we have to do, you know, because, you know, it is difficult in our lives to find that time, you know, to make that time. And, you know, I admit to that first as well. But, you know, it's not a weighty obligation or something we must do. It's something that blesses us. You know, so I just want to encourage you, even if it's just 5 minutes or 15 minutes, however long you can find, to just have the silence with the Lord, just please do it, you know. Not as an obligation, not as, you know, something that Pete said you have to do, but just, you know, do it and enjoy it. Enjoy spending time with your Maker, because that's what encounter's all about, you know. And if we want to encounter God, then, you know, that's all we have to do. You know, I really do think it's quite simple. You know, we just need to make those moments and have those times, you know. And I think that God is speaking to us this morning. You know, I think he has been since the start of the service. And, you know, George brought that word about, you know, we're washed clean. You know, Jesus has made us clean. You know, we're already equipped with everything we need to come into the presence of the Lord and to encounter him, to experience him. You know, we don't need anything else. You know, there's no kind of special ritual or anything to it apart from that Jesus has forgiven us and has equipped us with everything we need. Jesus has filled us with his Holy Spirit and we have everything we need. And, you know, I think maybe there's some people here this morning who God's been stirring your hearts and you think that maybe you have been hearing from God, but you've been ignoring it. Or, you know, you think... Yeah, I just think I want to provide some time for us to respond, for us to ask God to forgive us, you know, if we have done that. You know, I think all of us at times in our life can admit to, you know, we've not done what we know God wants us to do, and that's fine. You know, let's just draw a line in the sand and say, right, from today, I'm going to resolve to listen to God and to be obedient, you know. Don't beat yourself up about anything else that's happened before. Let's just ask God for forgiveness this morning and let's move forward with him. Let's move forward expecting to have these encounters. You know, or maybe you feel God's never spoken to you. Maybe you're not a Christian and you think that's why God hasn't spoken to you. And if that's you, then this morning I want to give you an opportunity to answer that voice that's been speaking to your heart. You know, or maybe you are a Christian, but you just think you've never heard from God, you know. And again, this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to just be still and just to let God speak to you now, you know, because the presence of God is here. I think we've felt it this morning. And I think God, you know, has been stirring our hearts, you know. And so, yeah, I just want to have a time of silence. We've got 5 minutes till we're supposed to end. Maybe the worship group can come up. And we'll have some songs at the end. But yeah, I just want to have a time of silence, if that's okay. And we can respond to God. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for what we've heard this morning, Lord. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is alive and active, Lord. I thank you that you're the one true God. You're the only living God. You're the only God who speaks to his people, Father. I thank you that you have provided us that still small voice of your Holy Spirit, so that we can hear from you and we can commune with you every day, Lord God. And I just ask now, in this time of silence, Lord, please just speak to us, Father. Speak to our hearts and minds, Lord. Just bring us to a place of repentance and obedience to you, Lord Jesus, where we can just come and encounter you and say, your will be done in our lives, Lord God. And just open our ears to hear you this morning, Father. I just pray an anointing of your Holy Spirit on everyone's spiritual ears this morning, Lord God, that we may hear you without a shadow of a doubt. I pray that your voice will speak and we will hear you right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.